Taking a look at Texas political news, let's go to the phones. Joining us from MustReadTexas.com, co-founder of MustReadTexas.com, also GOP strategist, Matt Mikowiak. Matt, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Chad. Good morning. Doing great.
Thanks for coming on today. Taking a look at some of the latest Texas political news. I guess the latest polling that has come out from the Texas Tribune and University of Texas, nothing too shocking except that I can't really believe that Steve Stockman gets 16% in the vote.
Must have polled every single family member of his.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay, so Steve Stockman got 62%, John Cornyn, or 16%. John Cornyn 62%. That's a race that we've known is going to wind up in Cornyn's favor since the very beginning. The more interesting number, Greg Abbott holding an 11-point lead over Davis. Do you think come election day that you're going to see that 11-point lead increase or shrink?
It's a good question. My sense is that number is pretty accurate right now. I thought the number that poll had in October, which was Wendy down 5, was unbelievably inaccurate. But I do think it's probably 11, in that 10 to 13-point range right now. I think Wendy's come down quite a bit because of the damage from her embellishing her biography and all the coverage that I got. This poll was taken February 7th through the 17th, and so it wouldn't have accounted for this latest 2 or 3 day Ted Nugent dust-up. But generally, I think it remains to be seen. The question's going to be, how does Wendy Davis do with, soft Republicans and independents, and particularly with women, and particularly in those suburban counties outside Dallas and Houston? That's where this campaign is going to really be weighed. It's in, Collin County and Denton County, and those are and even Tarrant in Dallas, and in places like Montgomery County and Houston, which are rapidly growing and where you have really independent and sort of up-for-grabs voters. So the question is going to be, is Wendy capable of running a good campaign? I think so far we've seen very little evidence of that. We've seen evidence she's been able to raise money. She raised $8.5 million from, I think, around, whenever she got in to through the year. We'll see. My guess is her fundraising goes down over the first 6 months of this year because I think it'll become increasingly clear that she's not going to win this race and that people are not going to waste resources on a race that's not winnable. So it depends a lot on is she able to put together an effective campaign, putting Abbott on defense, talking about issues, putting a real platform out there, effectively campaigning. So far, we've seen very little evidence of that.
Do you think this dust-up with Ted Nugent, and it's something, and personally, I haven't really thought that much about. I haven't talked about it at all because I haven't viewed it as that big of a deal. I mean, is that anything that's going to hurt? It's not going to end Abbott, obviously, in his campaign, but is that something that could cost him a few points here or there?
I'm doubtful of that. I think, my guess is Ted Nugent's involvement in this campaign is now over in a direct way or indirect way, tangential way. I think they're going to continue to try to make a big deal out of it. I thought it was absurd that Wendy's campaign called it the Abbott-Nugent ticket on, I think, Friday. They're overplaying the hand a little bit.
Yeah.
And listen, if you want to get into this deal where every time a surrogate comes in, you dust off the worst thing they've ever done and tag it on your opponent, she better hope Bill Clinton doesn't come to Texas and raises money for her. I mean, where does it end?
Yeah.
So, and I don't remember folks, dusting off the worst things Cecile Richards has ever done when she came in to raise money for, I guess it was for the Travis County Democratic Party, but it was a big event that Wendy attended and got a lot of attention at. So, look, I think you could be a little bit dangerous doing this surrogate blame game nonstop. The bigger question is Wendy going to be able to give people a reason to be for her? And I think the challenge that she's going to have is most people think Texas is heading in the right direction. We have some issues. We have some challenges. Rapid growth, the dynamic growth creates challenges. But most people think Texas is going the wrong direction, in the right direction. And she's going to have to convince people it's going in the wrong direction. And I think that's a real challenge given the energy boom, the strength of the economy, the fact that, our cities are growing very rapidly, people are moving here. That's the real challenge for her. It's how do you maintain a sort of hopeful and optimistic campaign when you have to convince people the state's headed in the wrong direction?
Visiting with Matt Mikowiak, GOP strategist, co-founder of MustReadTexas.com. Besides the races for governor and U.S. Senate, it looks as though just about everyone else running for statewide office is prepared to go into a runoff. Is that pretty accurate?
Yeah, and I was talking to a couple pollsters late last week who have been testing at different races, and I think that's the expectation, is that every race goes to a runoff. And the reason for that is because this late, you have a very large number of voters who are still undecided. You know, none of the candidates have had a significant enough financial advantage to try to win without a runoff. I thought at one time it was possible Dan Branch could do that in the Attorney General's race. It's clear now that he's going to be runoff probably with Ken Paxton. So the Lieutenant Governor's race with four strong candidates who all had, significant fundraising and significant basis of support, I think that was always going to go to a runoff. Although I'm not convinced Dewhurst believed it was always going to go to a runoff. But I think he's convinced of that now because you're not seeing him dump a lot of money in late to try to avoid a runoff. So you are going to have a series of runoffs in those, top of the ballot and even down ballot statewide races. And it's going to be interesting to see who gets in there, and what the dynamic is and how the campaigns develop, between the March 4th primary and the May 27th runoff.
I guess the only other race that probably won't go into a runoff is the race between David Watts and George P. Bush. And it looks as though to me, and I still get questions, Matt. I don't know how often you get asked, but I still get questions. Who is George P. Bush? It seems as though, he is basically running off of that last name, the Bush last name, because there just aren't a lot of media opportunities, it seems, with George P. Bush. Is that the right way of looking at it or the wrong way of looking at that race?
Yeah, what's interesting, I mean, I don't know everything about what he's doing with media. I know it has been limited. I know there's been some criticism about that. I know he just completed, I think, a 3 or 4 week bus tour of the state of Texas. And when I saw some of the markets he was going to, it wasn't a matter of just going to Lubbock. It was a matter of going to, small towns 30 minutes away.
Right.
Places like Plainview, outside Amarillo. He was hitting a lot of small markets and sort of second tier and third tier markets across Texas. So I don't know that there's much concern about, sort of primary voters meeting him. He's been all over the state of Texas. In fact, I think apart from Ted Cruz, he's probably the biggest draw, maybe apart from Greg Abbott as well, the biggest draw in Texas politics. And I know that because having worked for another statewide candidate, one of the best events you can go to is when George P's the headliner.
Yeah.
So, I think ultimately, my sense is his campaign looked at this and said, the more we put him out there, the more he's got to answer questions about his uncle who was president, his grandfather who was president. I just don't know whether, having to run through the Bush 43 legacy is all that helpful.
Right.
He's his own man. He has his own background. He endorsed Ted Cruz in that U.S. Senate race. He's a strong conservative. He's got a very impressive background as a teacher and a Air Force, I believe he's an Air Force veteran. And having worked in the energy industry too. And so I think he's going to be a very strong, probably the number one vote getter on the statewide ticket in November will probably be George P. Bush. And I think there's going to be a lot of opportunity for the media to talk to him over the next 6 months.
Interesting. Matt, what can people find today and throughout the week at mustreadtexas.com?
Yeah, constantly updating it with news stories. Obviously there's, Governor Perry's up in DC at the National Governors Association meeting. He got some attention over the weekend for a couple appearances he made. He was on Fox News and also on CNN on Sunday. So he'll be getting some attention. I believe he's in a press conference today for the Republican Governors Association in Washington. But yeah, really, it's just all these races are coming down to the wire, and it's a question of, who's voting, how does vote turnout look, and where are these races going? You can find it all on mustreadtexas.com.
All right, Matt, thank you very much. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Chad. Have a great week.
You too. That's Matt Mikowiak. You can follow him on Twitter at Matt Mikowiak. MustReadTexas.com, great website to go to every day.